Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Monday edition of GX on Agriculture. Coming up on the program today, well, we'll deal with some leftovers from last week. Of course, crop production week. Crop week was held in Saskatoon. Crop production show, CropSphere. We'll hear from one of the presenters at CropSphere, Saskatchewan farmer, chartered accountant, Lance Stockbruger will join us on the program today. And we gear up for this week. The scene shifts to Brandon for Manitoba Ag Days that gets underway tomorrow at the Keystone Center in Brandon. Now, I have spoken with a couple of the presenters, people who will be presenting at seminars and workshops at Ag Days, and we'll hear from at least one of them on the program today. Brian Voth is the president of IntelliFarm, and he'll do a presentation on grain marketing. Also, Saskatchewan farmer Florian Hagman farms up in the Birch Hills area, up in the between Melfort and Prince Albert. And he'll be doing a presentation at Ag Days about practices, growing practices to achieve high-yielding canola. In Hagman's case, he said crops that have topped 100 bushels an acre. I spoke with him and asked him what's his secret, so we'll hear from Florian Hagman. Coming up on GX on Agriculture today as well, if time permits. First, though, and we better get moving along, or we won't get to those features. The Agriculture Weather Outlook is a presentation of Yorkton Raymore and Watrous, New Holland. And Sean Prahika, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Yeah, we've lost, though, the extreme cold warning. That has now ended. And that's, well, because temperatures are starting to come up. We'll notice them a little more later on tonight and tomorrow coming up. But more notably, the winds have been down. Nearly calm wind for much of today. It may pick up at times to as high as 10, but still not a significant wind at this point for the next couple of days. Minus 22 is our high this afternoon. Generally sunny sky. A little cloud cover comes in this evening. Tonight will average partly cloudy, though, and the winds start to inch back up. It's a south to southwesterly wind, and that's going to push in some warmer air. Not only tonight, but we're likely looking at a pretty steadily rising temperature for the next, say, 48 to 60 hours or so. It's not going to drop after that. It's just going to stop warming because we're going to get almost to the freezing mark and getting much past that this time of year. A long shot. Some of us may. We may crack freezing for the end of the week, but in the meantime, we have to get there, and it's a slow rise. Minus 27 this evening, and then starting to rise overnight. We'll be around minus 15 late tomorrow afternoon. Mostly sunny sky, bit of a south-to-southwest wind picks up. So even though the temperature is a little warmer tomorrow, the extra wind will still keep the wind chills in the minus 20s, but we're dry. Tomorrow night, clear sky, that temperature inches up a little more, rising to around minus 12. And on Wednesday, sunny sky, with a high near minus 1. Southwest winds, 15 to 30. It won't feel necessarily like minus 1 with that wind. It'll feel more like minus 10. But even that, above average. For some of us, temperatures may climb above freezing both Wednesday and Thursday. But on the average, we're near or just below for Wednesday and near for Thursday as well. A little extra cloudiness, though, for Thursday. The high near 0. And Friday features a mostly cloudy sky. This ridge that's going to be in place is going to block a storm system for a while, but it'll finally get a chance to slide eastward for Friday. That brings in the chance for a few flurries, and minus 2, the high, the peak of the warmth eases down, but the coldest air still, at least for a few more days, stays locked far off to our north. That means we'll likely be near or above average right through the weekend.
All right, thank you, Phil. Now, the temperature roundup. Minus 26 degrees in La Paw, along with Swan River and Hudson Bay. Minus 27 in Roblin this hour, 25 in Dauphin, Broadview, Mooseman, minus 24 in Brandon. Saskatoon reports minus 23 degrees, Regina, Indian Head, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, all at minus 22. In the York and Melville region, it's sunny. The wind is very light. Relative humidity, 73%. Our current temperature up 2 in the past hour. Now, minus 25. Yesterday's high was minus 11. The low, minus 24. Our provincial temperature extremes in Saskatchewan range from a high of 0 over in Cypress Hills Provincial Park. Wasn't warm all over, though. Uranium City can certainly attest to that, where they had an overnight low of minus 37. In Manitoba, Melitta, the provincial warm spot yesterday at minus 9, to Dooley Lake, the coolest at minus 35, or safe to say coldest. Normals for this date, we'd expect daytime highs right in that minus 13 range, overnight lows near minus 24. Sunrise this morning, 8:48. The sun will set this afternoon at 5:11. Again, our current temperature, minus 25. It's coming up on 12:24. You're listening to GX on Agriculture. We have a report coming up from last week in Saskatoon during Crop Week, and of course several producer organizations held their annual meetings there, included in that Sask Wheat, and they installed a new board of directors and also welcome a new president, Laura Reiter from Radisson, taking over from Bill Gale. CN and CP Rail supplied a combined 78% of hopper cars ordered in Grain Week 23. CN supplied 75% of cars ordered, while CP supplied 82%. CN order fulfillment performance has declined for two consecutive weeks and once again lagged behind CP, as has been the case for much of the current grain year. CN failed to supply over 1,000 cars in Grain Week 23. Heading into Grain Week 24, CN has 900 outstanding orders. CP Rail had an unfulfilled demand of over 700 hopper cars in Grain Week 23. CP's performance in Grain Week 23 was their worst of the year. Heading into Week 24, CP has 872 outstanding orders. U.S. wheat futures tumbled at the end of last week, just prior to the long Martin Luther King holiday in the U.S., after the USDA reported larger than expected U.S. winter wheat plantings. Corn futures also fell, while soybeans turned higher in a recovery from four-month lows in the wake of the U.S. supply and demand data. USDA raised its estimate for U.S. corn production due to record large yields and trimmed its estimate for the U.S. soybean harvest, even as that crop remained the biggest ever. USDA estimated 2018 winter wheat plantings at 32.6 million acres, the smallest since 1909, but above analysts' expectations of 30.1 to 32 million. March Chicago wheat futures closed on Friday, down 12 and three quarters of a cent at 420 and a half a bushel, its lowest price since December 20th. Republican senators are working with some of the world's biggest ag companies to undo a last-minute provision in the U.S. tax overhaul that threatens to distort the grains market and starve private grain handlers. It was included during final revisions of the tax bill that passed Congress last month. The provision gives farmers a 20% deduction on payments for sales of crops to farmer-owned cooperatives, but not for sales to private or investor-owned grain handlers, such as Archer Daniels Midland, Cargill, and Bunge. The modification was introduced to compensate co-ops and their farmer owners when Congress eliminated a part of the tax code which had benefited them for more than a decade. Now, some Republican senators say their attempt to create an equivalent to the old tax code has backfired. They now say that tax laws should not sway where farmers sell their grain. The USDA said on Friday it expects a solution will be forthcoming. New rules are now in effect for housing temporary foreign workers employed on Canadian farms. The accommodations will now have to pass regular inspection before the farm can hire its workers. The employer must provide the workers with adequate, suitable, and affordable housing as defined by Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation. It can either be on-farm, such as a bunkhouse, or off-site, such as a commercial hotel or motel. Now, whether it's on-farm or off-site, farm employers are required to provide proof that the facility has been inspected by an authorized inspector within the 8 months prior to the date when a farm's labor market impact assessment application is received at Service Canada. And just one more thing, the federal budget coming out in a couple of months could contain some important tax implications for incorporated farms. You'll remember last summer the finance department proposed changes to income sprinkling, passive investments, and the conversion of income into capital gains. After a lot of negative response from farmers and small business, the federal government retreated on many of the proposals, including income sprinkling to family members involved in the business. However, there could be other changes in the upcoming budget that may impact incorporated farms. Lance Stockbruger is a Saskatchewan farmer and also a chartered accountant and tax specialist.
I think it's this investment income, the increase or the potential increase that we're going to see in the investment income is probably going to be the most troublesome for them. And part of it is because we don't know. There's a lot of unknowns right now. And I guess as much as we don't want to see it, it should be coming out in this March 2018 federal budget. Should shed some light and give us some guidance on it. And we're all worried about what that is going to say. But there's a very good possibility that the income tax on investment type income inside of a corporation is going to get significantly higher than the already 50% that it is taxed at now.
The timing is another unknown.
We're not sure. 2017 is done. From a passive income standpoint, that won't be changing. But is it going to be retroactive to January 1st of 2018, or is it going to be effective, the first day of or the day after the budget? We're not sure. But because we're already into 2018, I'm still saying get your ducks in a row before the budget. Hopefully, it'll be effective after the budget, because it's hard to make rules based on or try to make predictions as to if we don't know the rules of the game that we're playing by.
Stockbruger advises farmers to keep in touch with their accountant, especially after the federal budget.
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously biased. I loved it when clients would talk to me ahead of time and understand the rules and understand what they were getting themselves into. And I guess that's what I try to do now is give everybody the whole picture, the whole story about what they're getting into. But everybody's situation is a little bit different. So, yes, they need to go and talk to their advisors and make sure that the advisor understands these. I mean, they're very complicated rules and there's all kinds of new things. So certainly advisors are going to be at different levels of understanding it. And if they're not feeling comfortable with them, they need to find somebody that that can truly help them out or give them some guidance on it.
Lance Stockbruger is a farmer and chartered accountant. He was a guest speaker at CropSphere in Saskatoon last week. It's 12:38 now. You're listening to GX on Agriculture. Let's check in now again with Danny Ismond.
1-855-783
20 before 1 now, and of course this would normally be the time when we'd check the U.S. livestock futures, but with the Martin Luther King holiday in the U.S., markets are all closed. The livestock market report normally brought to you by Pattison Agriculture. Well, Manitoba Ag Days takes over this week. Of course, last week it was Crop Week in Saskatoon. Now the scene shifts to Manitoba, and Manitoba Ag Days gets underway tomorrow at the Keystone Center in Brandon. There will be over 60 seminars and workshops over the 3 days. Florian Hagman is a producer from Birch Hills, Saskatchewan, between Melfort and Prince Albert. And he'll be one of the speakers. Hagman will share how he's successfully grown high-yielding canola on his farm year after year. He says little things matter.
It's all those little details, you know, sometimes seed placement and fertilizer placement and split application and foliar top dressing, you know, and at the same time maintaining a good healthy soil, you know. That's part of the key of the success, I believe, you know.
Hagman says paying attention to those details and ensuring those details are taken care of in a timely manner are key elements of his success.
I'm not a better farmer than anybody else, but I think the key of success is to pay attention to those small details, you know. So try to have a better use efficiently of your nitrogen or using the right ingredient. It's kind of those little points that I believe is really important, and the timing and feeding your crop constantly during the growing season, you know. Not just putting one thing in the spring and say goodbye, adios, and then I'm done for the day, you know. But it's a constant, you know, follow-up.
Hagman says new, higher-yielding canola varieties have helped.
Lots of new canola variety helps a lot. You know, some hybrids got better yield potential than others, but those hybrids, they need to be fed accordingly. You know, you need to provide the nutriment when you need it and accordingly up to the end of the growing season.
Hagman says he learns a lot from other farmers.
I just gather information from every place I can. I had the opportunity to drive kind of all over Western Canada and meet producer and exchange, you know, what works, what don't work. Just through the time. So I had some success and I had some flop also. So, but you kind of learn from your mistake too. So it goes both, you know, it's a constant, you know, trying, you know, so.
Hagman has had canola yields on his farm topping 100 bushels an acre.
I start to work on those growing canola challenge, you know. So I started, I think in 2011, 12, you know, I went for 54 bushel, and after the year after, I went to 84 bushel. And not all the farm, but quite a big amount of acres. And the following year, I went to 116 bushel, you know. And last year was 90-some bushel, and this year we had quite a few tests, 99 bushel, 100-some bushel an acre. So I think it's possible to achieve good yield, but it won't happen by itself. It's a little bit of hard work. So
there's an old saying that you have to spend money to make money. I asked Hagman if he thinks growers have to spend more on inputs to see a greater return on their canola at harvest.
Your input will be higher a little bit. But if you keep your plant healthy and everything, at the end of the day, you win, you know, because your fixed costs are the same, you know, but there's a difference on the grass. So at the end of the day, yes, you gain more. But really, really, you don't have to use that much more ingredient, but it's just to put it in the right time and the right moment.
Florian Hagman farms in the Birch Hills area between Melford and Prince Albert. He'll be one of the speakers tomorrow at Manitoba Ag Days in Brandon. His presentation scheduled to get underway at 10 tomorrow morning in the FCC Theater at the Keystone Center in Brandon. It's coming up on 12:45. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. We'll check the grain prices next. Again, an abbreviated grain price report coming up today. The commodities, because the U.S. holiday, Martin Luther King holiday today, U.S. markets are closed, but we'll still follow canola futures in Winnipeg, so that's coming up next. CN Rail says grain movement was relatively strong in December, despite some bitterly cold weather. CN's David Chinovic, director of grain marketing with CN, says grain movement picked up momentum in December after a setback in the fall due to derailments on the main line in Alberta and BC.
The second and the third week of December were very strong, and we actually recorded the second best week of the crop year in there. In the last week of December, the close of the navigation of the St. Lawrence Seaway effectively ended hopper demand to Thunder Bay until March, and grain companies reduced orders as they worked around the holidays at West Coast export terminals. Now, extreme cold weather also put a lot of stress on the rail network in the tail end of December, and that impacted performance. CN saw its third best ever December for Canadian grain, and tonnage moved was off just 5% versus December 16's all-time record, and it was flat versus the three-year average. That contrasts to U.S. grain being off 10% versus last December, and that was due primarily to a weaker export rail program to the U.S. Gulf. Now, in terms of bulk grain movement in Western Canada, CN averaged around 4,650 hoppers per week in December, compared to around 5,000 per week last December. The three-year average was just under 4,800.
At Vancouver, Shednovic says the port has seen the best movement ever from CN.
Now, interestingly, since the start of the crop year, CN's seen record unloads at Vancouver. Now, customers use commercial car supply agreements to protect their car supply to Vancouver, and that shows in the numbers. And generally speaking, customers more focused on protecting car supply by using contractual commitments, including the car auction and fleet integration programs, have fared much better this crop year in periods of tight car supply compared to customers relying on general car supply to cover their shipping needs.
Shednovic says temperatures dipping below minus 25 have a serious impact on rail grain movement.
Well, CN put its winter operating plan into effect during this stretch of extreme cold. You know, minus 25 is a real critical inflection point. Once you get colder than that for a stretch, a number of impacts come to bear on rail operations. Due to the nature of train air brake systems, trains have to be shortened in order to travel safely under extreme cold weather. Now, to move the same amount of traffic under these conditions consumes more resources. The longer the stretch of extreme cold, or the greater the area in our network that the extreme cold covers, the greater the amount of network congestion that you can run into. Extreme cold is hard on equipment, too. The rate of locomotive failures increases in extreme cold weather, but you can also run into malfunctioning or frozen equipment at loading origins. It can also take considerably longer to charge up train air pressure once a locomotive's hooked up to a loaded grain train, and that adds to cycle time. Through CN's Winter Ready program, customers can invest in infrastructure at origin in order to ensure that a train's aired up and ready to go when a crew arrives to pull it. The customer can recoup their investment, and the supply chain benefits since the crew doesn't have to spend valuable time airing up the train. It's a win-win for grain shippers and CN. And we're doing our part, too, in adding more air repeater cars into our fleet, which is another way to mitigate the impact of extreme cold weather on the grain supply chain.
And that's David Chudnovik. He's CN's Director of Grain Marketing. It's 12:49 now, 11 before 1, and we'll check the commodities. It's a presentation this afternoon of Mazer Group and Raynor Dean, your REMAX Blue Chip Realty Ag Specialist.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures down in trading this afternoon. March 491.80. That's down $1.20 from this past Friday's close. May canola sitting at $500 on the nose. And that's down 60 cents. Again, March canola 491.80, down $1.20. May canola at $500 a metric ton, and that's down 60 cents from this past Friday's close. All U.S. markets are closed today for the Martin Luther King holiday. The end of last week, wheat futures were struggling as they closed well down following the USDA's latest crop reports and agricultural supply and demand estimates reports. So they'll be looking to bounce back when those markets reopen tomorrow. The Farm Bulletin Board is coming up next. Saskatchewan Agriculture Minister Lyle Stewart hopes there may be an opportunity for marijuana to become a regular crop for Saskatchewan farmers. He says Ottawa is the sole regulator for production, and so far only greenhouses have been licensed to grow marijuana for security reasons.
The federal government's entirely responsible for the regulations around growing it. We get to govern retail operations and regulations around that. But the federal government is responsible for the growth of the plants, and they will set the rules. And so far, permits are only available to greenhouse growers. I don't know if we'll ever get to a point where it can be grown in open fields. If there is, of course, there'll be fencing and security requirements, but we're not there yet. I know the greenhouse growers are still a little bit in the dark, too, about how the rules are going to work out. But I talked to them yesterday, and they don't seem to know much more than we do about it, which is not very much.
Stewart says he's heard that some farmers are interested in growing pot as a cash crop.
I hope there's going to be an opportunity for open field growing of it at some point, but like I say, there'll be some pretty serious and expensive security around all that.
As for a time frame when all this might start to unfold,
I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I guess it's going to depend on what the demand is for it. If it can be met in greenhouse situations, that will be the way they'll want to go first because it's easier to provide the security. But if there's more demand that can be met that way, perhaps there'll be a time.
Saskatchewan Agriculture Minister Lyle Stewart. Have over half a million square feet of floor room space that they can utilize. We've already heard from Ag Days organizers about some of the things going on there. They certainly have all sorts of seminars and workshops taking place tomorrow, again Wednesday and Thursday. Again, it's all happening at the Keystone Center in Brandon. Listen to GX on Agriculture tomorrow. And we'll have an interview with one of the presenters. We'll be putting on a presentation tomorrow afternoon. I spoke with him this morning, Brian Voth, grain marketing expert, and he'll be doing a presentation on grain marketing coming up tomorrow afternoon. But listen to our program tomorrow, and we'll hear from Brian Voth and get some timely hints on grain marketing. Okay, that's Manitoba Ag Days. Again, that goes tomorrow through Thursday, but we also wanted to let you know about some events that Farm Credit Canada is putting on in Yorkton. Farm Credit Canada Ag Knowledge Exchange events coming up on Tuesday, January 23rd. There will be a presentation on tax and the corporate farm. It'll go from 1 till 4 at St. Mary's Cultural Center on Wellington Avenue in Yorkton. Now, the following day, January 24th, there will be two presentations, again at St. Mary's Cultural Center. The first goes from 9 till noon, and we'll focus on how to build tax-saving succession plans Then, in the afternoon, there will be a workshop on how to get more from your farm's financial data. This workshop will help participants gain better financial control of their farm by learning and implementing best practice management, business management techniques. The events are complimentary for producers. Producers can register online at www.fcc.ca/agknowledge, or you can call 1-888-332-3301. Again, that's Farm Credit Canada Ag Knowledge Exchange events coming up at St. Mary's Cultural Center on Tuesday, January 23rd, and again the following day on the 24th. And we'll close out GX on Agriculture now with precision weather. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, and Russell regions, partly to mainly sunny this afternoon, wind southwest at 10, high minus 22. Partly cloudy tonight, wind south-southwest 10 to 20, overnight low minus 27. Temperature rising overnight. Wind chill, though, before it does that, will be as low as minus 37 at times. Sunny tomorrow, up to minus 15, continuing sunny on Wednesday, high minus 1. Partly sunny Thursday, high near 0. And Friday, 30% chance of flurries, high near minus 2. On the temperature roundup this hour, minus 26 degrees for the Paw, Swan River, Shoal Lake, Russell, and Hudson Bay, all 26. Minus 27 in Roblin. 25 this hour for Dauphin, Broadview, Mooseman. Regina reports minus 22 along with Indian Head, Wynyard, Wadena, and Kelvington, and Saskatoon minus 23 degrees. In the Yorkton-Melville region, sunny, the wind is light, relative humidity 73%. Our current temperature is minus 25. That's our time for today. I'll be off tomorrow, but Doug Falconer will be filling in. Once again, we'll have some stories from Manitoba Ag Days, give you a bit of an idea what's coming up at Ag Days over the next couple of days. So join Doug for tomorrow's program at 12:15. I'm Rod McDonald.